I think sometimes we lie about the things that we actually enjoy because we want to fit in. We don't want to disappoint the people around us. But it's really about being truly honest with yourself and exploring what you enjoy for you and for no one else. Hey, I'm Joyce, the Abundance Coach, and you are listening to the Abundance Podcast. If you want to follow along in the show notes where I have transcribed this entire episode, along with outlines and resources about the topic, then definitely head over to gotabundance.co/podcast. Welcome to another week. And this week, we're gonna talk all about play. Before you're like, yo, wait, hold on, is this podcast for adults? The answer is yes. And no, I'm not talking about that kind of play. Anyway, just a quick rundown of what play is. So let's start with Dr. Stuart Brown. Dr. Stuart Brown is a medical doctor. He is one of the primary people who has really advocated for this concept of play. He's also the founder of the National Institute for Play, where he speaks about, consults, and educates organizations, corporations, universities, etc., about how important play is in our lives. And how there are actually some serious consequences that can happen when play is neglected. In his book, Play, How It Shapes the Brain, Opens the Imagination, and Invigorates the Soul, he tries to get away with not defining play, but he tells this funny little story where he tries to explain play to a group of engineers. And the guy he was working with, who was facilitating the presentation on play, went up to Dr. Stuart Brown and was like, bro, you cannot start this presentation and not have some sort of framework or definition for play because these engineers will eat you alive. So that is actually the inciting event that led Dr. Brown to basically reluctantly creating a definition or 7 properties of play. And the number one property is purposelessness. So it has no purpose in the sense that you don't need it to survive. It's not about making money or gathering food. It happens for its own sake. The other characteristics are pretty self-explanatory, like it has to be voluntary. So no, play cannot be torture. And it also is inherently fun to do, and it makes you want to continue doing it. There's also the concept of freedom from time, which for those of you that are familiar with Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi's work on flow, that's basically what he's referencing, which is when you're so absorbed in something that you lose track of all time. You also have a diminished consciousness of self. You're not worried about, oh man, what do I look like? Do I look stupid? You are just there in the moment, just being, having fun. And also, there is an aspect of improvisation. Play is not inherently useful for its survival value. However, it definitely has survival value. This is an important thing about play. So what do I mean by this? In positive psychology, they talk about how negative emotions are narrowing. And narrowing means you focus on a specific objective, right? If you are feeling fear and you're trying to run away from a saber-toothed tiger, you're focused on pretty much one thing, which is to survive. The opposite, however, are the positive emotions, and those are more broadening emotions. So they allow you to open up to possibilities instead of narrowing in on a specific outcome. And this is also the benefit of play, because although there is not direct survival value, there is unpredicted and unplanned learning that enhances survival value. It's sort of like tag, right? All of us played tag probably as kids. In tag, we might learn a lot of different skills and tactics, like juking people and running in the opposite direction of what they expect, of hiding, of maybe learning some quick pivots that allow us to do better in sports later on in life. Or there are social learnings, right? Like, okay, who do I ally myself with? You're forming these alliances. You're trying to figure out, how do I survive the longest? You might even be learning about social reputation, right? If you win a lot of games of tag in a row, you might be looked up to as the vicious tagger or the one that never gets caught, right? So you're learning about social identity here. That's really the point of play, right? The point is that there's not a point. And what you do learn is unplanned and unpredicted. So as I was thinking about how I wanted to talk about play, how I wanted to structure this episode, I thought it'd be perfect for what I am calling a montage episode. A montage is all about piecing together different parts. The academic and the research in me wanted to take a sample of people around me, and this is nowhere near a randomized sample or randomized trial, but you know, each of them go really in depth about what play looks like in their lives, what their daily schedule is, because honestly, play is not something that's really talked about, and it's quite a shame because it's something that we need so desperately in our lives. I went into this with a completely open mind. I had known that play was something that had changed my life. But the only thing that I gave these individuals was 4 questions, and I'll put those in the show notes so you can see the questions that I asked. I didn't even sit down to interview them. I just sent these questions to them, and they recorded their answers and sent it back. And what I found was really interesting, and I hope you'll think so too. So I'm gonna shut up for pretty much the rest of this episode until the very end. So I hope you guys enjoy, and I'm really curious to hear what your thoughts about play are after this episode. So make sure to hit me up on Instagram at The Abundance Coach.
My name's Amy, and I'm from Dallas. I work for a cybersecurity company and manage the company's website.
I'm Laura Huckey. I'm from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I'm currently launching my own online dating business.
And my name is Daniel, and I'm from Texas. I am fortunate enough to have a full-time job, and due to the pandemic, like a lot of other people, I work from home.
My name is Danae. I am from Dallas, Texas. I am a full-time employee for a defense company.
My goal this year has been about working on personal development, physically, mentally, and professionally. The biggest project I'm working on is training for a half marathon. And once that's over, I'll be working on my professional development.
But in my free time, I work for 2 nonprofits. One is called Black Tie Dinner that raises money for LGBTQ organizations in North Texas. The other nonprofit I volunteer on is called Stonewall Democrats of Dallas, which is a democratic political organization that supports LGBTQ rights and policies. Being a Hispanic lesbian myself, I find it important that I get back into my community.
So when I think about my life, I love the idea of looking back when I'm old and thinking, wow, I helped so many people find love. It just feels really fulfilling. So yeah, that's me. So a typical day for me these days is pretty jam-packed. Typically, I wake up between 6 and 7. Usually for about 5 or 10 minutes, I have an internal dialogue about not wanting to get up and wanting to just play on my phone instead of getting up and working out.
My typical day looks like waking up. First thing I try to do in the morning is make my bed, and then I'll brush up, eat something for breakfast, work for the rest of the morning.
After that, I may do some freelance work. Probably did some freelance work before that too. It's another reason I wake up really early. I have a full-time job, and then I'm also launching my dating business. I have an employee, so I have to check in with her. And I also have several copywriting clients that I support on the side. So typically I have work to do outside of the 9 to 5 hours.
And at lunch, typically around noon to 1 o'clock, I'll take a walk or do a workout in my home gym just to get my blood flowing since I've been sitting down for most of the morning. I will proceed to work for the rest of the afternoon.
During lunch, sometimes I'll also do work for one of my clients. But if I don't have any pressing deadlines, I do try to unwind a little bit during lunch. I'll watch a TV show. After work, it's kind of the same thing. It's either I unwind or I've got work to do.
In the evening then, I'll have dinner. And because I'm in grad school, I end up studying for a couple hours a night. I do feel like my schedule is pretty full and pretty packed, and I can really be overwhelmed sometimes. So I try to give myself breaks, right? Not always be going, and just give some time to rest.
Right now I work 40 plus hours a week, but where I see myself going is working to like maybe 60 plus hours a week. For me, that is very unattractive and makes me a little frustrated and mad. So I don't want to do that.
My time to decompress has decreased since having my baby, so I am at the mercy of my daughter's sleep schedule.
My life is kind of turned on its own head. It's been a really rough time for me personally. So this idea of play was, you know, really interesting because I'm a very playful person. I'm usually seen as very positive and outgoing, a people person. I have a lot of energy. I'm loud with my personality. And so this idea of play came in kind of at an interesting time where I'm actually at a pretty low point in my life. My job has taken a turn to where I don't feel like I would be happy. I got broken up with by the love of my life. It was my first time ever falling in love. And things just ended up not working out the way that we thought they were going to work out. Just with everything going on in my life, like, I needed to get back to play.
If I'm being honest, I probably don't play on a day-to-day basis. Play and fun might be something that I've scheduled for the weekend, like a lot of other adults. You know, we're so busy, we have things going on, bills to pay, and play doesn't seem like a priority.
Play is just, it's seen as so immature. I'm only 24. If I use play too much in my life, I'm seen as careless and immature, irresponsible. The thing is, like, no. How I take care of myself is through play. And you talk to people who, you know, go and they just have fun with their life. But the generations before us see that as you're supposed to go to work, you're supposed to get married, have kids, start a family, work to sustain that family. When's play ever introduced?
Well, I love this question because it really makes me think, how do I enjoy myself? How do I have fun? So, like I've said, I enjoy going on walks. I enjoy bike riding. I try to play Ultimate Frisbee, which is more of an organized sport, at least once a week. We just get outside and run around for a little bit to have fun. On Sundays, we have a field day on the afternoons, so we just go to a local high school and just kind of throw around a football or play kickball or just hang out, and I feel like that's a huge way that I play these days.
How I use my play day-to-day now is kind of different from how I've done it in the past. You know, usually I would be just like working out, going to boxing, you know, being healthy, eating the right foods, trying to implement this routine atmosphere that I needed. You know, I was happy and I was good, but there was something missing. What was missing for me was the idea of just spontaneity.
Something I've done recently is I've discovered like early 2000s throwback playlists on Spotify. And during my walks, I'll plug in my headphones and just dance in the street, I guess. It's kind of ridiculous, but I'll just dance in the street to some of these throwbacks just because it takes me back to, you know, like a simpler time, or it's just, you know, the feel-good vibes of a throwback song. So it's something I really enjoy.
I catch myself dancing a lot. Sometimes in the morning is when I have to do exercise. If I'm not feeling doing like a true workout, I'll just put my headphones on and dance around my room like a crazy person. And it feels great. I also love singing. I'm always listening to music. I will say, even when I'm working, I have music on all the time. And I know a lot of people can't listen to music with lyrics while they're working, but that doesn't bother me at all. In fact, like sometimes I'll just sing along, especially now that we're working from home and there's no one around to like annoy by doing that. I did sometimes dance at work and people would catch me, which is kind of embarrassing. Yeah, I don't know. Music is just one of those things that is an instant mood lifter for me. And I just love it. And it definitely allows me to like tap into my emotions. It's an outlet. It's just everything.
My husband and I will make time for each other for at least 30 minutes just to talk. Recently, we've been playing It Takes Two, which has been a very fun couch co-op game. The one thing that I've noticed is that I've really enjoyed playing these video games together. I used to play video games as a child, and so that was a big part of, you know, what I did to have fun growing up.
When I was younger, I was such a playful kid. Like, I always liked coming up with storylines and adventures that me and my younger brothers would go on together. And like, it wasn't just us watching TV all the time or playing video games. Whenever we were younger and our imagination was running wild, always coming up with different scenarios and having Nerf gun wars and pretending that we were time travelers.
My dad used to take me and my brother to the arcade sometimes after school or on the weekends, and it was definitely one of my favorite things to do as a family. My mom sometimes came, but not always. Sometimes my dad would kind of like do it on the DL because my mom thought going to the arcade was a waste of money. But it really wasn't, because like I said, when I think back to my childhood, that's like one of the memories that comes to mind first. And I know that you're just putting your money into these machines and you're not getting anything tangible in return. I mean, maybe you win some tickets and you trade it for some cheap prize, you know, some plastic ring or a stuffed animal. But it's the memories that you get from it. It's that play. It's that fun. I just remember going to the arcade and just loving it. As an adult, it's kind of equivalent to playing a game on your phone or watching TV, maybe even going on Instagram and just going down the feed and reading memes and stuff like that. It's just this escape from reality where you can get lost in what you're doing and forget about everything else.
I was homeschooled until middle school, so on a typical day, I had a lot of free time and a lot of rein to just have fun as a kid, which I really, looking back on it, appreciate. I had a friend who lived two blocks away and was also homeschooled, so we ended up taking out our bikes a lot. And we lived in a small town, so we just kind of biked around town, made trouble. You know, if we saw a good tree, we would stop and climb the tree just for fun. We would throw rocks into the lakes to see who could throw rock the farthest. All kinds of trouble, you know, even just going into the grocery store and buying ourselves some candy and eating it while we were riding our bikes.
The other thing that I really liked as a kid that brought me so much joy was dressing up. I absolutely loved putting on like dresses or costumes, doing my hair, doing my makeup. I was always super into that. I did theater growing up and I always loved getting ready for the show. And it's funny because I'm very much the same even at 32. I love doing my makeup. I love doing my hair. I love getting dressed up for an occasion. It's just so fun.
My favorite thing about that time in my life was probably just being carefree and enjoying myself and not worrying about what else I had to do in the day. It's such a fond memory because we don't do that very often, right? We have packed schedules, we have things to do, people to see, and I think I could use a lot more of that in my life today.
I'm reading a book right now called Untethered Souls. And it talks about how energy flows through our body. And by opening and closing parts of, you know, our body, like our heart, that causes us to go through certain emotions. And a lot of what this book says is to let it go and let it flow. I have a hard time letting things go. I flow like a boulder in a river. I'm in a very low point, but I still have ways that I can implement play, you know, planning things to go meet up with my friends, you know, visit family, go shopping, feel good about myself, put on a nice outfit, cook for myself, I can love myself and I have my own insecurities as well, but using play to let me harness those energies of my goofiness, my childlike energy, and releasing it into the world. Because, you know, I don't want to become this, you know, robotic, monotonic person, because I'm not. I'm a fun person. And it's not thinking too hard about that and just letting life happen and not stopping it. Being in the moment. And we all have trouble with being in the moment. We're always thinking about the next thing. And that play is truly getting to live in that moment. And we all need a little bit more of that. I know I do.
My memories playing as a child, where I experienced the most joy, definitely had one thing in common. I was surrounded by friends or family. That was important to me growing up as an only child. I do experience this joy when I get together with family. Once people can safely meet and travel again, I fully intend to visit friends and family that I haven't seen in a while.
Most people, they wear kind of the same sort of clothes, or they do their makeup the same, or they wear their hair the same way for a long time. So it's always fun to have some reason to sort of break from the everyday and do something fun and exciting.
Like, when I think of the idea of play and like how it was in the past, that's what I think of. You know, just those little adventures that we'd go on that was just our mind. And it's like, okay, like, now that I'm older, what can I do to have that same joy again? What can I do to release that same energy?
And I think the way that that will happen is if I make it a priority. So like other things in our lives, we just have to make time and space for it and just see how important it can be in our daily routine. So I think that's something I'm going to try to do going forward, is just try to incorporate more time to just be fun, goofy, don't have a reason to do things. And I don't know, maybe it'll allow me to be happier, maybe it'll allow me to be a little bit more carefree, but I do think that this is a feeling that I miss and I want more of going forward.
Hey, hey, it's me again. I really hope you enjoyed that episode. I know I did, listening to all of the stories, all of the nostalgia. I just love the picture that was painted by the stories that Daniel, Amy, Tanae, and Laura shared. Because I don't know about you, but for me, it really painted a picture in my mind and made me think of my childhood. And ultimately, the biggest takeaway that I got from this is that play looks different for everyone. And back to Dr. Stuart Brown from the beginning, the reason he was so reluctant to create a definition for play is actually because he described it as an inside joke. He said, you know, if you have to explain a joke, it's not funny anymore. And so play is really something that you need to experience for yourself. There is no manual, there is no guidebook, and if you're like me, then that really frustrates you because you want to do it the right way. But ultimately, it is about following your gut. It's about following what you genuinely enjoy in life and being honest about that. I think sometimes we lie about the things that we actually enjoy because we want to fit in. We don't want to disappoint the people around us, but it's really about being truly honest with yourself and exploring what you enjoy for you and for no one else. So my biggest takeaway is that there's no right way to play. I'm curious about what your takeaways are. Make sure to hit me up on Instagram at TheAbundanceCoach. And again, it took a lot of time and effort to put all of this together, so if you can spare some change, please head on over to gotabundance.co/boba and you can treat me to a boba this week. I would really appreciate it. Also, these first few weeks are crucial for getting the word out about the podcast. So if you have an Apple account, please go to the Apple Store linked in the show notes and leave a honest review. So thanks again for listening, and I will see you next week. Na, 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 na. because I think sometimes we lie about those things because we want to fit in. We don't want to disappoint. Oh my God. Whew. I thought my cat was about to jump out the window, but I remembered there was a screen on it. So I almost just had a heart attack. Okay.